Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Knights of Ren. It's Allie.
And Maria.
And today we are here to talk about episode 4 and episode 5 of The Book of Boba Fett, or I guess in this case, episode 4 of The Book of Boba Fett and episode 1 of season 3 of The Mandalorian. Pretty much is what we're talking about today. As we'll get to, well, I'm sure we're going to discuss it, despite these being like very different shows, seemingly. I really loved both of these episodes.
They were very good. I liked them.
So let us begin by talking about episode 4, The Gathering Storm. And I thought it was so ironic. We literally talked about how awesome would it be if we saw Boba finding Fennec after she got shot. And then the next episode.
That was funny.
So what did you think about this episode?
I liked it.
I liked that we got to see the way that he's continuing to process. I liked that even though it was small little bits and pieces, you could clearly still tell that that was a drive, because we even talked about it, like back when we phrased, like, as soon as he finds that family, he goes and finds Fennec. Like, there's still those bits and pieces where he like does want to continue to help people, and he has learned and he wants to continue to try build families, even though Fennec's like kind of resistant. He's trying.
Yeah, you see a lot of character growth in both Boba and Fennec. I realized, like, watching now these two episodes, I want to see something just straight from her perspective.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting because she's very dry and she likes to joke in a kind of a passive aggressive way. And I kind of would like to get to the root of that, because I think there's a lot of pain there, because most people that are passive aggressive like do it out of pain because they can't be honest and vulnerable. So yes. I'd really like to see things from her perspective.
Yeah, and like you said, just her, because like this episode did do a good job of showing more of her, but I think like you said, like getting to see how she operates more on her own at this time would be super super critical. Like,
yes, especially because the show is featuring those two.
Yes. Yes.
I loved the Mandalorian episode.
Yeah.
I'm just going to add that.
And this is why there's actually several things that Marie and I discussed yesterday about this. But one of the easiest solutions would have been to just give us more episodes. We've been saying this for weeks.
Yes.
Having that extra episode, then you get an extra episode with Fennec after this, and you're like, okay, now we're getting more on Fennec, and then you have it culminate. Now we're having only two episodes for it to culminate, which is kind of stressful. And
where did our mod game go? Where did they go?
Where did they go?
I've lost complete connection to them now, because we have two episodes without them. These two episodes that we're covering today, the mods are not in them. Mm-hmm. They're mentions, but we don't see them. And Boba in these two episodes, we're building a family. Like, that's the theme of these episodes, is Boba's building a family. Yeah, I would like to see also some of the biker gang and their interaction, Fennec interacting with them. That'd be awesome.
Like, intertwining would have been like super helpful.
Yes.
Like, we've had intertwining in previous episodes of this show where you get like the past and the present. So similar to this, you could have had more intertwining with Boba's story potentially. And like, I get some people called it an interlude, and like, obviously an interlude is completely shifting, but with like having that interlude, I guess you could still have like, I guess, more direct calls to like how this is tying. Cause like, unless you listen to podcasts or watch YouTube videos, you might not pick up on all those thematic parallels until maybe in the next couple episodes are going to make that clearer. But as of this moment, unless you're doing deep analysis of this, you're not going to pick up.
No, it's true. I did not pick up that theme till I sat down and was taking my notes. When I casually watched it, I lost a lot of the direct conversation. And it was really the end of this episode, The Gathering Storm, where Boba and Fennec have that heart to heart on the balcony, where he's going with things and what he wants to do and what his plans are. And then of course, when he's in the desert with her and talks about building his family, which, since we're going to connect right now, I will bring it up. In episode 5, Din, when he's talking to the armorer, talks about loyalty and solidarity. And that's exactly what Boba offers Fennec. I mean, I thought that was really cool. However, mm-hmm. I did not pick that up till I sat down and like Pitt was, you know, analyzing this, these two episodes.
So imagine how cool it would have been if they like intertwined these two.
Oh, and it like, needed, you, it needs that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what I, like I had said to Allie in text yesterday, what I would have loved to have seen was a snippet of Din's story from episode 5. And then more of Boba Fennec and the Mod Squad for episode 5. And then we have a complete episode in The Mandalorian of this.
Mm-hmm. And you give people a taste. Yeah. You give them exactly. the taste of it. And then either later, or as I told Maria the other day too, it could have even worked if they had like aired this in The Mandalorian, like intertwine these. Cause like, yeah, I get it. Maybe Star Wars doesn't want to air more than one show at once, but that might have aided this a bit better. If you're going to do like Mandalorian tie-in shows, it becomes difficult if The Mandalorian isn't even airing.
Well, because they are tying the stories together so much, that would have made so much more sense. Like, yeah. I mean, I love these two episodes.
Yes.
Okay. But we have character growth. I mean, seeing Din, I mean, when I saw that episode and he was holding the little, I ugly cried. I mean, I was like shaking, crying. It just affected me so hard. So there's a lot of love in these two episodes. And the issue that we're having is there is an organizational issue and it's affecting all of this. And it's, we're getting confused as viewers. I know like some of us are trying to figure out a Mandalorian timeline.
Yes.
and that just where we're at, who's in what.
Because Gideon made it sound like the Night of a Thousand Tears took place by the Siege of Mandalore. But now we know the Night of a Thousand Tears is the destruction of Mandalore. So that can't happen because we see Mandalore in Rebels. So
exactly.
Very confusing.
Star Wars has to address that.
Yeah.
Because they're confusing us. I did not lose the message and the theme that were in these. I mean, like I said, the character growth, the information we learned that we did learn about Mandalore and about their culture and what's going on with Din. I love all of it. It just, it needs a little bit of a shift there. And that's all we're saying. And
I ended up telling Maria yesterday, like, I'm just like, I'm going to critique that, but at the end of the day, I just love this episode so much. So Maria and I agree. We're just going to call it season 1, episode 3, Mando. Because we like season 1.
That's how I look at it. It's an episode of The Mandalorian.
I kept tweeting this and then I didn't want to attach to my drawing. Okay. I need to say this here and now. And it actually worked really well. I want to say I didn't plan my drawing to come out before this episode. Just because I used part of Boba's quote does not mean I thought he was talking about Mandalorians. Oh, I knew he was talking about bounty hunters.
Oh, Allie, I know. I saw people saying that and I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm so done with the internet.
I know. So
it's recontextualizing the quote. It's putting part of, that's why I didn't put the whole quote. If I was directly referencing the scene, I would have put the entire quote. I only put the first part of the quote because the first part of the quote made me think about Mandalorians. And guess what? Guess what episode aired next, everyone? An episode about Mandalorians. Huh. Wow. What a coincidence. Maybe I'm not as stupid as you think I am.
You are not, Allie.
I'm not. I just love Mandalorians, okay?
And there's nothing wrong with the art that you did. I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you.
It was very sad, but it was beautiful.
Everyone should know that I mostly draw angsty art. So.
Okay. So back to episode 4, The Gathering Storm.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on this episode?
Speaking of that scene, I like that you brought up how that is a moment between them where you kind of get that dynamic, like, and that's another thing that'd be interesting to see Fennec more in between, because like the dynamic doesn't seem to change, where Boba is always trying to be that one who's more open and let's make a family, and Fennec's always been the cold, like, nope, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Kind of what I thought that what I thought we were going to get this week, based on what last week built up, I thought we were going to, this was culminating into like kind of what we referenced the week before with like the, I don't want to say like a big argument between them, but like, you know, like the big discussion between them where they like really clash their viewpoints. Finally, they have to realize and recognize their different viewpoints and what the, how that's dividing them. Cause like kind of similar to like how the Mandalorians are divided. Or like if we're making all these parallels, like how that's kind of dividing them and what their way of doing things. And because we see all the way back then that that's so similar, I think that's a critical conversation these two need to have going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because you see that. And that's why I would like to see something more from her perspective. Like why is she holding back? Because she wants to be a part of it. She wants to be a part of what he's offering, but like something is holding her back.
Yes. You need to dig into that. Cause like, I can speculate all I wanted. But, like,
no, I'm not going to speculate. I can't, because we could be your childhood. Like, I don't know. I mean, we could go there with Boba too, you know?
Yeah.
But like, again, speculation, there's so many things that lead Boba to where he is. And there's so many things obviously that lead Fennec to where she is, but we don't really know any backstory of Fennec either. You know?
Yeah. Like I can't 100% quote the line, but about what she says to Omega is like something like, you got to do what you have to do in the galaxy to like make your way through it. But mm-hmm. Beyond that line, we don't have much context as to why she says that.
So, exactly.
Give me the baby Fennec backstory. Give it to me. Go full on Marvel with the baby backstory. So you tweeted about the scene with Black and Kersantan. So do you want to talk a bit about that scene?
Oh gosh. I really like that scene a lot. Because it referenced so much of the Clone Wars and what happens in the Clone Wars and how the Wookiees are treated by the Trandoshans, and obviously the lingering scars, because this episode is talking about a lot of scars. The Fennec, I tweeted that today. Fennec, you know, refers to Boba's hidden scars. Mm-hmm. And then here we see in the very next scene, Kersantan attacking the Trandoshan. The Trandoshans aren't doing anything to him. He is just sitting there. He's drinking and he is thinking of all the things they did. And he is getting angry. And I get that. Yes. I feel you, Kersantan. I totally do. And he starts a fight with the Trandoshans. And then Garza jumps in and she talks him down, or attempts to talk him down. Yes. And then he rips his arms off and then pays the money. I really respect that, Kersantan.
Yes.
But I also respect Garza for trying to talk him down and placate him. And say, you know, how wonderful he is, which is definitely a reference to The Force Awakens when the med officer is trying to placate Chewbacca after he's hurt and saying what a big strong guy he is. And how brave he is. And then she does the same thing to Kersantan, but obviously it doesn't work.
Kersantan is more silent bass than Chewbacca.
Yeah, Chewbacca is definitely, I mean, for a Wookiee, because the Wookiees are warriors.
Yeah,
Chewbacca's pretty chill for a Wookiee. And Kersantan is obviously angry, and I get it. I mean, what they went through and how they were treated and everything, he's harboring a lot of pain. He has those hidden scars just like Boba does. Yes. And it's looking like Boba, I mean, he offers him a job at the end. I'm curious what it is. And if Kersantan is going to be a new member of the family along with Mando. Is Mando going to be a member of Boba's family? Is that the family that Mando lands with?
So I was really getting to the core of it, because you say Kersantan has scars, Fennec apparently has scars, but here's the two groups that you need to develop more. Fennec and the biker gang, because apparently they have scars, but we don't see those as clearly. And then obviously Din, as we're going to talk about in the next episode, has a lot of scars too. So it's definitely going to be like, it is a family of healing in a way, where we're all coming in with like our childhood trauma and we all need to work through it together.
I want to see them all like bicker like in Rebels, you know, where they have those like stupid bickering moments and they have to like work it out and everything. They have to go find the Meilu run.
Yes.
Like, you know, things like that. We need those little stupid moments so we can see how they react together and become that family and everything. I mean, of all the episodes besides episode two, this episode and episode two truly give us the most information, and those two really connect together because we see Boba not, like Fennec says, he's getting soft from the Tuskens. I'm glad she said that because that's her perspective. Yeah. That's her point of view. And I need to know that. And that's what I thought she was feeling, but I'm glad she voiced it to him. And he's like, no, I've learned from them. And I know that I need to have a family, that you can only be solo for so long. I don't know if I agree with him personally on that, but narratively we'll agree.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't call myself an extrovert or introvert for no reason. I like being alone, but I also will interact with people if I have a chance.
I feel you on that, Allie.
I'm trying to think. Do I have any other thoughts about this episode?
I liked it when he gets in the fire spray. He renames it the fire spray. We have a lot of dude bros all mad about the fire spray change. But like, okay, I want everyone to think about this. He is really, in this episode, he is like holding up a flag saying, I'm not pew pew. It's family man now. Okay. Yeah. So he is letting go of that past. That's not him. This is what he wants to rename his ship. This is his new start. I don't see an issue with that. I would do the same thing. I'm not that person anymore. And I love my ship and I'm going to rename it. I don't see an issue with this.
I don't understand why people want to call it slave. Why do you want the word slave in the name of a ship? Why?
Yeah. Why was it named that in the first place? I don't know. I remember because we have the Lego and we built it. I have it upstairs. Like I can go grab it right now. It's all built and all together. Okay. It's a really fun build. Yeah. And I remember like when I first started, you know, understanding Star Wars and I watched that and I remember learning the name of the ship and being like, and talking to my ex-husband and being like, why would they name a ship this? This is weird. I'm like, he must be like bad. But then you see the Clone Wars and you're like, he's not. Yeah. I don't know. So that's a weird name. I'm glad it's gone. Did you like the scene where he goes after the riders, the Kintan Striders?
Of course. Like after what they did to the Tuskens, are you kidding me? Kill them all.
Like Boba was vengeance then. And then he goes and blows up the Sarlacc pit. Like boom. That was like, that was Boba going pew pew pew, but in the name of family.
Exactly. It's the motivation behind going pew pew pew. Yeah. Unless you have more thoughts about this episode to connect to the next episode, that's kind of similar to Din. I feel like, in a way, I feel like Din's gonna be a lot more, I can bring you in warmer, I can bring you in cold. Until they mess with Grogu, then it's a different story.
Yeah.
So, and that's one parallel I noticed, like, too, in connecting these. And obviously, he did have that line in Mando, and he did try to let people live in Mando, but, like, to connect it to Boba's story and his growth, you do see that immediately from Din in this episode, where he's, like, trying to let people live. Like, I don't have a problem with you, I'll let you live, go off, do your thing. Like, it's kind of similar to what Boba does. So I'm like, yes, Din, there we go.
And I like, you know, when Boba is in the desert with Fennec and they're talking and he's explaining why he doesn't want to be a bounty hunter anymore, because she said, you're tied to this, like, this is your life. And he's like, no, we can make it what we want. Like, if I'm the head of this house and I take over Jabba's palace and, you know, get rid of Bib, then I'm in control and it's the way that we make it. And it's not that way anymore. It's going to be this way, a family of where I have your back. You have invested. He offers her invested interest and he offers her protection, that he would throw his life down to protect her, his loyalty. Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful. And again, this, that theme plays again in what Mando says to the armorer, when he's talking about making and justifying making Grogu's armor, that he's not going to give up his relationship with Grogu because Grogu's a Jedi.
And that, it also applies to like the larger scale of it in terms of the religious trauma and like the stuff with like the cult and the way for Din. It's definitely kind of what I talked about in my article last year, like going really trying to be critical of the traditions of the Mandalorians, of which we will follow, of which are best for our people. And for him, like, that doesn't only apply to Grogu, but I think like just even him recovering and working through the impact that the watch had on his life and his trajectory, and whether he is going, because like immediately you see him fall back on it, kind of similar to Boba did, where he's like, what can I do to like prove myself and for forgiveness and to like atone for my actions? He immediately falls back on that. But so now in being with Boba, a lot of people, like we talked about this back in Mando, people brought it up again this week, like Boba being a mentor for Din in that way.
Yeah. And Din learning, like, he can let that go.
Yes.
And he can do his own thing and be his own Mandalorian. Like, they're just, and in a way, Bo too is representative of that, because mm-hmm. she is not a part of the same covert that, you know, Din was a part of and the armor is a part of. She's a part of a different sect of Mandalorians. So he understands that there are other pathways. I think in episode 5, I think he was scared and hurt after he left Grogu, and he's, you know, he doesn't have a ship anymore. He doesn't have any anchor. And so he went looking for his anchor. Mm-hmm. That's natural. He was hoping he would be welcomed back in, of course. And obviously he knew what was going to happen, that at some point she was going to ask him about the helmet.
Yes.
It's just sad that like so easily and quickly and coldly they kick him out.
Mm-hmm. It really goes to show that it really, people forget it's a cult. It's a freaking cult.
Yeah. And they have rules, and he knew that that was like such a steadfast rule.
I am about to drop a diss track. I get people like the armor. I
love her voice and I love her costume. She's very strict. I mean, I would not, like, she would hate me. Like if in real, like if Maria were inserted in here, she and I would never get along, because I don't like such strict rules, and I don't.
So here goes my long tangent about the armor. So the armor says, by creed it is in battle, it is said, one warrior will defeat 20 and the multitudes will fall before it. If, however, it is not won by combat and falls into the hands of the undeserving, it will be a curse unto the nation. Mm-hmm. Mandalore will be laid to waste and its people scattered to the four winds. First point of many. She calls this a curse. And I literally wanted to tweet out my article and be like, wow, the armor just called my entire article from last year a curse. Here is my first of many thoughts. Okay. She says to break this curse, we need to follow the traditional way, the way of combat to win the Darksaber. Mm-hmm. She is completely forgetting, well, not completely forgetting. She doesn't have the context maybe, but like this completely neglects everything that Sabine and Bo-Katan work through in Rebels.
Yeah.
The whole point of Sabine and Bo-Katan challenging their ways throughout is so you don't have that. Mandalorians are stronger together. Yes. By following their customary value of combat to get the Darksaber, we're just killing everyone. We're fighting each other to see who will be best. And in the process, we're just losing more of each other. We're not
respecting each other's actual life mm-hmm. and the warrior that is there.
Yeah.
And how would Sabine and Bo even know?
Exactly. That there was a curse? Exactly.
The Darksaber was in a cave. It was in a cave on where the Night Sisters are from. I'm sorry, I can't remember the planet off the top of my head. Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, it was in a cave, and Sabine out of instinct grabbed it. I don't think that that's really upsetting that there would be a curse from someone doing something that ended up being truly helpful, because it did end up in the hands of Mandalorians where it should, and not in a cave on Dathomir with Darth Maul, you know, just evolved out of circumstance by the way that the story was written. Mm-hmm. And then now there's bad, intent from something that seemed as to us as viewers as like a natural occurrence. Mm-hmm. Of events. Yeah.
And like what you brought up about Maul, like the first time we see the tradition actively challenged is when Bo-Katan says, "No outsider shall rule Mandalore." The first time when Maul wins the fight, she's like, "No, no outsider shall win. That's where I'm going to draw the line and challenge it." From the very beginning, tradition has been challenged for what she believes is best for her people. And that continues out throughout. Sabine saying that might be the Mandalorian way, but it's not my way, not anymore. That's a justification based on morals and what she believes is best. Is not tearing people apart. It's not killing every person you win a fight against. And then when the whole reason she doesn't take the Darksaber is she doesn't believe she's the strongest one to rule them. It's not because of some, I didn't win it through combat or anything like with this curse. She just genuinely looks out for what she believes is best for Mandalorians. And now here comes the next part of what the armor says. The armor says Bo-Katan solely laid claim to the sword and to ruling because of her sister. Okay, now while part of this may be true, because she does say, one of the first things she says is like, "I accept the sword for my sister," and blah, blah, blah. And like, she also does rise up in Clone Wars more so because of her ties to Satine. But people are forgetting, when Sabine first offers Bo-Katan the Darksaber, one of the first things that comes out of Bo-Katan's mouth is, "I am not my sister. I'm not the leader you seek." She does not say, I might be Satine's sister, so I deserve it. But no, she literally says, "I can't lay claim because of my bloodline, because that's not what will be best for Mandalore." Mm-hmm. That's because I'm not her. I'm not my sister. Like, I can't just rely on the legacy, because that's not enough to justify my strength as a leader. It is only when Sabine demonstrates to Bo-Katan how she mentored her, how Bo-Katan mentored Sabine, that's what helps her see that, okay, I can lead people. It's not, Satine is not the first drive behind her taking the sword. It is her ability to lead. And then getting in the Mandalorian, it's not just her ability to lead, but it's the fact she lost it in combat, which is why she falls back on that tradition, because she lost it in combat and she has no faith in her leadership skills, because we see Mandalore literally gets like blown to smithereens. So I'm sorry, I don't think I'd feel worthy of the Darksaber either at that point. But I want to just make it very clear. Do not call Bo-Katan Kryze a curse. She is not a curse. She did her absolute freaking best, did what she thought was best for her people, resisted the Darksaber multiple times, trying not to like go down that path because she didn't think it was best, but the people around her helped her believe that she could be what was best for me.
They were all kneeling down around her, like asking her to take it. Like all the houses, like every single house was there represented, and they're like, "Please take it."
Oh. And then what really irks me is this guy has the audacity, after the armor tells this tale, to go up to Din and be like, "I'm house.
Oh yeah,
to be with me." And I'm like, did you learn nothing?
Yeah.
That is not a justification to take the Darksaber.
Yep.
Even if you win it in combat, that's not a justification.
And then of course they have to fight. I liked when we do get Din is struggling with the Darksaber, and that's how he injures himself at the beginning of this episode. He's not able to hold the blade up because it's heavy, and that we see that in Rebels with Sabine, where she's learning to wield the Darksaber. And I mean, number one, it's much more wieldable by her than by Din or Paz. She seems to have more ability to wield it right off the bat than either of them, because to both of them, it was much heavier. So I think mind-wise, she's a little bit more connected than they were starting out in their training. But I really like seeing those parallels between Rebels here. So that, and I guess that's why it's somewhat confusing with that information about Bo-Katan and Sabine in that instance, because then we also have this instance where the parallels match up, where Sabine struggles with the Darksaber and Din struggling with the Darksaber.
Yeah. So when I heard this, I've watched Trials of the Darksaber probably a million times. I heard like the first part of this quote, I lost it. Okay. So Sabine's quote is, "The blade feels lighter," and Kanan says, "You're connecting with it." Din says, "The sword is getting heavier," and the armor says, "You're fighting against it." Mm-hmm. I lost it. I screamed. I was like, "Oh my god, it's literally!" I love my Sabine. I miss Sabine Wren with my whole heart. And any little parallels, I'll take the crumbs until I get her next week. That's not a spoiler. I'm just saying that because Filoni's next week. Okay, but yeah, I like what you said about the parallel, and also I think it is kind of goes back to that direction of like either the religious trauma or like the cult the way where even Sabine is resisting the sword primarily because of the hurt she caused her people. Din is resisting the sword legitimately because he kind of was not he was completely put in a place.
Yeah.
Sabine actively picked up the sword.
Yeah.
She might have neglected it because she was like scared to face her trauma, but she physically picked it up. Yeah. Was like, "Oh, I know what this is. Let me go bring this back to Kanan." Yeah. Whereas Din literally had zero understanding of what this was about. Mm-hmm. Literally, like, and it's also the burden of that. Like, it's the burden between, do I want to be a father to Grogu, or do I want to like lead the Mandalorian people? He had more loyalty to being a Mandalorian for this cult than he ever did for himself. Mm-hmm. So, and then obviously, as we see throughout Sabine's fight, she actively opens up and releases.
We don't see that at all with Din. So that's something, I mean, I think we're going to see in season 3 of The Mandalorian. Maybe we'll see a little of it in the next episode, because we leave it where it's obvious we know where he's going. He's going to go see Grogu. So maybe he will get...
Let me apply my clown makeup right now. I want to put a compilation of every time that I said, "Now that Grogu's off at Jedi camp,
never
I can't
wait to see him all again."
The Din-focused
Well, we were
six
hoping...
times in the last year. 6 times, including that article I just referenced.
It looks like, I don't know, I'm assuming, because I don't know, we don't know, because some people did escape when the Jedi Temple was destroyed, so he wasn't there. So whether he was with Din or he escaped, he wasn't there.
My assumption now is he's with Din. Just
that's my assumption. That is my assumption as well. I feel like he probably went through like a good amount of training or went through some training with Luke and then went off with Din. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
maybe
I'm just going to say more about the scene. I apologize in advance. I'm going to want to talk about the scene for like hours. So another part of it is when she sees the Beskar spear, she says, "Its mere existence puts Mandalorians at risk." Mm-hmm. This makes me think, let me just go out on a huge whim here. We might not see someone end up with the Darksaber. What might be best at this point is we don't have no more Darksaber. Because here's what I'll say about this.
Yeah.
Throughout Rebels, we were like, okay, this can be a unifying symbol. Here, I'm going to read, actually. Fenn Rau says, "The combat training is not as important as what that blade represents." Throughout Rebels, there's so much about that. It's like they already talk about how much the combat is not the big thing. It is the symbol. It is the leadership. But to the point that we've reached in Mandalorian, we've seen it only cause division. It's the one sign of hope we got that it would unify in Rebels immediately got destroyed. And Moff Gideon took it. It got taken by an outsider. It was used for destruction, killing off Mandalorians. I just think we're at a place where this it can't be a symbol of unification anymore. There's too much trauma and Lost tied to it, where I don't see how it can.
But if Grogu gets it, and that's his lightsaber.
This is just me, like, looking at it from a Mandalorian history perspective. Like, I guess as a weapon, that would be cool. Okay, so the other
argument that would be... That's just a random thought. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I would die. I would die. I mean, if that happens, I will die.
Yeah, so either I see it either as we need to get rid of it completely, or you got to do something major. Major.
With, I feel kind Grogu of like a Jedi should have it, because it was created by a Jedi Mandalorian. So I kind of feel like maybe a Jedi Mandalorian should.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like something like that, where you have.
That's what I'm saying, Grogu.
A mix of an outsider, but also an insider, because like a Jedi Mandalorian. That's the one instance where I'm like, yeah, that could continue to work. If you don't get rid of it, you have to, I don't want to say atone for what happened, but you need to prove that this symbol, this weapon, can be used to unify beyond.
He didn't want it to destroy it.
Beyond following.
He was like, let's melt it down for the hilt. And I mean.
Another aspect of the resisting the blame, I do. He just wanted to get rid of it.
Oh, wait, really quick. One thing we totally skipped. Oh, wait, no, we haven't gotten there yet. No, sorry.
Oh, but we're going to get to a lot. There's a lot. Yeah, I have more on the scene, too.
I was jumping ahead, so never mind. I went ahead, and I'm not going to jump ahead because I want to stay in the Mandalorian stuff.
Yeah, so the quote I was going to reference for what you said about Grogu is what Moff Gideon says in... Season 2 is, the Darksaber doesn't have the power, the story does. So it's like, that's it. That's the story. If the story is, it's only created loss, and yeah, we need to get rid of it. If the story is, here's a Jedi Mandalorian rising up to unify two groups of individuals, then Grogu can have the Darksaber. I don't know. I can't think of a little Grogu just swinging around the Darksaber.
It'd be so funny. Cute, little Grogu with his little dark. I mean, the huge dark saber. And little Grogu.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's even grow, or that dark saber needs to go straight.
It's like Grogu is like the little that chef droid there. You know that was in Boba's palace, or well, I guess it was Jabba's palace at the time. That's like looking all cute at first, and he's got all of his knives, but then when he puts them up, he means business.
Yes. Also, Ursa says, perhaps Mandalore needs chaos if it is to become strong once again, and so that we may find a leader worthy of our people. Well, we got a lot of chaos. I don't think Ursa was expecting this level of chaos.
Because it was much better when she was, and she thought that that was chaos.
Yeah.
She thought that that was chaos. She didn't even know where all of this was going.
When the armorer says the Empire were the ones that pew Mandalore.
Yeah.
Is this the Empire, or is this the remnants of the Empire, like Gideon? That's what I'm like. Because I'm like, because no, that really would drastically change.
It's the Empire.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. That already helps you with the timeline, people. There you go. You got some extra context to your timeline.
Yeah.
Do you know how devastating that is? Okay, so that's the devastating element.
Yeah, because we're because it happens right after the siege of Mandalore.
No,
because
we're standing on Mandalore and Rebels. That was Mandalore that we were on, and Heroes of Mandalore. So that's what I'm saying is, like, Heroes of Mandalore happens in Rebels, and but then immediately before. After Mandalore gets
shaken. No.
So that's really devastating to think about.
No. Yes, I see. Okay, I see what you're saying. So it's like, boom, and then from Rebels, and then I don't know, like a few months later, or like a year.
So tragic. No wonder people don't trust Bo-Katan. Holy,
it's very short. That's my understanding, anyway.
Obviously, this is speculation, but
yes,
that really goes to emphasize the tragedy of it, is like how quickly in succession those events happen. You get the sign of hope, and then you really get.
Because of how deceptive the Empire was, they probably you know, I mean, not probably, they lied to Belle and tricked her and then just went for her stuff. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. They obviously lulled her into a false sense of security. Mm-hmm. And she thought that everything was okay. And then boom.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, if we can't kill you with your armor recipient's weapon, we're just going to blow up your entire
fleet. Yeah. So it's really unfair of the armor to say that because she wasn't there on Mandalore when it happened. Mm-hmm. She was on a moon of Concordia. Yeah. So she wasn't even there. So she probably doesn't understand what led up and what Bo was dealing with the Empire.
Yeah. And another tragic element of that is literally in Rebels, Sabine says, once upon a time, these plains were filled with grass, but I never saw it. You get that. And then you just get a completely fracking obliterated in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, the poor Mandalorians. It's such a freaking tragedy. It's so sad. Another interesting quote I liked from the scene. The songs of eons past foretold of the mythosaur rising up to herald a new age of Mandalore. I just love every time the mythosaur is referenced. I love it so much. Ah!
we'll probably see a mythosaur in Mandalorian.
Give it to me. Give it to me. I waited so long.
Not in the Book of Boba Fett. However, I really want to see Boba training with his Rancor.
We get to ride some mythosaurs and rancors together.
Yes. Okay, so here's my request, Star Wars, if you're listening, because I'm sure you are.
You're listening.
So at Celebration, I would really like a Bantha, like a big Bantha, like you guys had the Loth Wolf for everyone to take a picture next to.
Yes.
A big Bantha. So, but I really want to cuddle with it. Like, you're going to have to pry me off of it.
Are you off it? Oh, no.
Like, this is going to be Maria's Bantha. And I will fight everyone to get on the Bantha. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember everyone asked me when I posted my picture, they were like, can you ride the Loth Wolf? And I'm like, I don't think I saw anyone get on top of it. So I don't think that's a thing.
I think I asked
totally done that if that was if legal, you could
ride
though.
It and everyone told me no. So they were not letting anyone ride it. Because obviously,
I gotta hug it and I'll live with that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally good with hugging the Bantha. Please have a Bantha for us.
That made me so happy, though, that it was a Rebels thing. Oh, I loved that so much.
I would have loved to have gone to Celebration just for that.
You got to really bask in that moment, because I waited in line for the Celebration tour for like 6 hours.
Oh.
6 hours just to hug a fracking Loth Wolf and get a freaking Loth Wolf baby plushie.
Did you get it?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good. Because I know some people. So I know some people that went to Celebration and weren't even able to get them because the line was so long.
I waited many hours and I got it.
Okay, so I'm going to fist fight everyone in line to get at the front of the line. Just kidding. I'm not. I will not.
You just don't go I'll just the last give you day,
death
like,
stares. I'll just go during, like, if I don't get into a panel, I'll just go during that, like, really popular panel I don't get into. And I'll be like, fine, yeah. I'm going to go wait in line.
Oh, okay. After this, we can stop tangenting the Celebration about one thing. We picked the worst timing. Not only was it super long, this was like, I think this was the day of the episode 9 panel. So they started bringing all the actors on the Celebration stage, literally steps away from us, or not steps away, like across the hall. There were like all these like John Boyega and Oscar Isaac. And we're standing like halfway through the Celebration line. We like, we've been standing here for hours. We can't leave. So we had to watch it on the TV screen. And it was so annoying.
It's torture. Oh, that it was so torture. Sad. Oh my gosh. Okay. To see,
I treasured my Loth Wolf because of that.
Oh my word.
Worst timing. I picked the worst timing. That's what I'm going to focus on next year. Don't go after a major panel, people. That's my advice to you.
Can we get an ask here, Star Wars? Can we have a droid as a line holder?
Please. I needed a line holder so badly that day.
I'll program my little R2 unit that I got.
Yeah, this droid's just holding my place in line. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah.
I don't think anyone would have an issue with that at the Star Wars convention. I think everyone would be stoked to have little R2 there.
Yeah.
In my stead.
The only thing that was keeping me sane was that I went to that panel earlier that day. So I was like, at least I got to see them on stage as little blobs, little blurry blob, little blurry.
Oh,
Christ.
Did you capture those wolves?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I say I treasure it, because that's what I got out of this. So another part of the scene is death would have been justice for his atrocities. The blood of millions of our kind is on his hands. This is another call to like the breaking of tradition that they continue to believe is a curse, because like we obviously know that Sabine was the first one we actively saw challenging that custom of not killing the person you win the duel against. And obviously there's the option of yielding, but we didn't really actively see Gideon yield. And there's also that extra layer of he's a freaking Imperial who murdered all of us, so we should just
kill him.
So
yeah, they were really bummed. They were, the armor and paths were really bummed that when Din did not kill Moff Gideon.
They're like, gonna come back to bite him.
and then shortly after that, that's when Paz goes for the Darksaber and he can't even hold it up because it's totally fighting against him.
Yeah. Because he literally, like I said, going back, he literally is like, I'm from House.
I feel like the Darksaber The Darksaber gave Paz Vizsla the middle finger.
Because that's what I'm saying. It has to be from the genuine place of wanting what's best from your people. Sabine wanted to work through that trauma to go back to her. She wanted to go back, but it hurt her too much to come to terms with what she did. Then she was able to go back and help heal things. So she was able to lift it. Here he's like, oh, I have legacy claim, so let me wield the Darksaber. The sword, I think, like that way, knows that it is the weapon to serve what is best for Mandalorians. And if they don't have all the best intentions, then they're not going to be able to lift the sword.
Yes.
Sorry, buddy. You don't get the Darksaber.
No, obviously this just leads up to what will happen in season three, which means Bo, because we already saw it in season two of The Mandalorian in the finale, that she's going to have to fight him for it. And that, I mean, like you said, we didn't have that in Rebels. It was more a peaceful transition, and it just kind of a bummer that it has to be a duke out.
Yeah. Cause like I said, she's falling back on that tradition where did that's why I wrote that in an article. That got me so much that day, where you had Din, who was breaking away slowly, like taking off his helmet, breaking away. You had him being like, no, screw the tradition, here you go. Whereas she fell back on the tradition because of all the trauma and loss and everything. Mm-hmm. And yet, like you said, it's devastating that she feels like it needs to be that way. But like all of them were going to feel that. Sabine's going to feel responsibility. Bo feels responsibility. If we just have an all-out duke out for this freaking Darksaber, obviously all of us are going to feel a weight of responsibility, which is going to cloud our judgment. It's going to cloud what is best for our people. And they need to be reminded of that. Then I think that's why a lot of people say Sabine should have it. I agree, because I love her, because she does seem to have like a lot of that rationality in terms of that.
Well, it's going to be really interesting wherever and whenever she does turn up, what will occur with Sabine's character in relation to the Darksaber, because to me, especially because she's the person that found it, I feel in that regard, like the Force brought her to find the Darksaber. Yeah. And I feel that there's a tremendous amount of significance there, So I feel that I really hope we see her early on in The Mandalorian season three. I really do.
Yeah. I'm 90% sure she says something in Heroes of Mandalore where she's like, I thought I came across the sword so I could like lead the people, but now I'm realizing my like true destiny with it was to give it to you. It's her coming to terms with, again, her people having faith in her, her ability to lead beyond what, because like all of them have to come to terms with that. Like we all caused our people pain. Mm-hmm. Even Din like participated in the group that broke away from Mandalorian society, got very cultish. I guess all of them kind of like committed some kind of harm, either intentionally or non-intentionally, to their people. And so they all kind of have to like realize that, yeah, we're going to hurt people, but the importance is being able to overcome that and work past, like work through that and prove that even though we hurt you in the past, we want to achieve what's best for you in the future. Cause like their story is one of tragedy, And that's like getting to the Boba connections and the scars. They have lots of scars. These people gotta work through like a lot of scars.
Especially the Mandalorians and their super strict code that Din was unfortunately a part of. And now, I mean, the fact that they kicked him out so harshly, it just really, after losing, I mean, he didn't lose Grogu, but I mean, he gave Grogu to Luke, but he doesn't have a family. That was his family. And he reached out to them. Mm-hmm. He looked so hard for them. I mean, he did that job at the beginning of the episode so he could find them. So he like, whatever, massacred, you know, seven guys to find them and stuff, yeah, beyond whatever led up to that too, because he said there were like other jobs leading up to it, it seemed. So he was working so hard to find where they were and be a part of them again. And they just so coldly kicked him out just because he took his helmet off. Mm-hmm. And it felt like she did that on purpose when she asked him, because he had just won the Darksaber back from Paz. And it felt like she was asking Din that question for a specific reason, because mm-hmm. I think she knew that he had mm-hmm. taken it off, like in her heart. She seems very in tune to things. Mm-hmm. And she wanted him out.
Yeah. And I think kicking him out will on several levels come to realize they were never like that family for me. They might have welcomed me in, but they ultimately used me for the way, building our covert for the purpose of retaining the ancient way, not for the purpose of being my family, because they immediately kicked me out so harshly. And also can open his eyes up more to, again, going back to my article, going again, looking at the strongest shall rule beyond the duel. In terms of that, looking at the ways of the Mandalorians outside of the ancient order of the Watch. And that might be something he can work through with Bo-Katan and work through with Sabine. And this is why I want to see more of the Mandalorian stuff. Please don't let Grogu be coming back, meaning we're not going to get more Mandalorian stuff. I want it so badly, please. There's so much interesting stuff they can touch on. And I just want to see it. I want to
and
see
and you and I were hoping that the focus, not that we don't want to see baby Yoda, Grogu. It's not that we don't want to see him. It's that there's so much in that story that needs to be told that, you know, Grogu is taken care of. And we want, I mean, not that we want them to not be connected, but focus here and then bring them back together.
I just, because I know we talked about how Star Wars doesn't seem to be staying loyal to their titles, but again, it's called The Mandalorian. And I know we talked like a few weeks back about that title representing all Mandalorians, which I still love that idea. Mm-hmm. But even at the surface level of Din, it's about Din, or it's about all Mandalorians. It's about that. And so
that's why it would be nice to see that.
Want to see it. Exactly.
Because it's obvious that the armor was holding a lot of information back from Din, and that's not cool. Like, and stuff about the Jedi too. Like, she should have informed mm-hmm. him about. Like, she's acting like she knows them so well. And in the previous season, we don't really have that from her. That same information, well, that she has. So it felt then that she was holding back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's weird. Because
she definitely like only tells him like the baseline of what she thinks he need to know, not necessarily like what he should know, like you said. Like if she had given him all the context behind like their history, obviously it wouldn't be like a cult then, because like that's no. But if he had more of that context, maybe that situation with Bo-Katan would have gone a lot differently.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Maybe he never would have trusted her at all, because like the cult, she could have fully brainwashed him on that, but because she didn't do that, here he is breaking away from it. Like, so in a way, it not only held him back, but it held her back as well.
Yeah. It didn't serve her.
It didn't serve
by her not giving him that information till after the fact, mm-hmm. it did not serve her. So
good like, the one thing I'll say about good on her for kicking him out is he, like we said, he was so desperate to stay. And I think he needs to break away from this environment for a while.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you.
Like, work through things on his own.
That's a good way to look at it. You're right. He does need to break away. And the only way for him to break away
is for them to kick it out. Like,
maybe she did it on purpose. It's really harsh, but maybe she was doing that on purpose. Maybe she realizes that he needs to go do this on his own and not through them. That this isn't
one of the ultimate lines. I can't get over this line. They lost their way. We lost our world. Cause like, that's just that environment. They're not going to be able to see beyond how going beyond their way caused the destruction. So breaking away from that is so important. Cause like, they only have that one belief and they don't seem willing to like, to look at things from a different perspective. So,
well, I should go back on what I said, but also, I mean, in that same scene, they're talking about how important family is when she's forging the the armor for Grogu. It's her kicking him out. It's not from a good place. It's her kicking him out.
Yeah, I think we want to think it is just because, like you said, there are people who like her. Like, she was an interesting character in season one. So it's like totally understandable for us to like have some hope that she has that intention. But I think what this episode did well, and why I was like, I'm going to drop a diss track on her, is some people clearly didn't see it, but it was supposed to make that she was shady and treating him in a way that was like
manipulative.
Like manipulative. That's the word.
It was manipulative. She's manipulative.
Yeah.
And it's good that he left. And it hurt when he asked her for forgiveness.
Oh my God. The way he said that, I was like,
will you forgive me? What can I do to fix this? And I was like, oh my God. See, if it were me, little feisty me, I would have taken my helmet off and been like,
oh, that I would have been dead. I would have so been dead. Oh my God. I just know with how I've dealt with manipulation in the past, I would have.
Would have been like, it is now a brawl. I am taking my helmet off.
Oh my God. I think it's like, it is interesting because like he did like swear their creed. Yeah. And like, as we talk about Mandalorians aren't a race, they're like a people, they're a creed. Like that's their whole thing. And because he swore like their unique creed that does like by their rules say he's no longer a Mandalorian, because she literally says that he's no longer a Mandalorian. Yeah. But I think with how complex and why I think I was joking at first, like this show's going to be called the Not Mandalorian, but I'm like,
yeah, can we Disney, please? Yeah. Like, it'd be so funny if you put it. I will die on the floor if you do that for season 3, episode 1. Please do that for us, because that'd just be so funny.
Yeah. But what I'm going to say is like, because there's so many like different creeds at this point, because
it should be written by the armor underneath.
Yeah. So I just think he can still be a Mandalorian because of all the complexities, but I will die.
I think he's going to find the mythosaur and then he's going to be all riding it and be like, you know what? I just want to ride a mythosaur.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's a buildup. And kind of similar to the armorer's manipulation, which I need to get so clear to people. Some people fell for this armorer's manipulation so hard. These shows have been building up breaking away from tradition. From I said, from way back in Clone Wars, we were already seeing it. The show armor is trying to frame it as a curse. It is strictly manipulation. It is not a curse. Yeah. They're trying to build up that, yes, we do need to break away from these ways and to look at things from different perspectives, look at strength from different perspectives. The tragedy is external forces continue to lay waste to our world. And when we fall back on our traditional ways, we just fight each other for the Darksaber. If we can work through that, then we can realize, oh, if we follow like what Sabine's been saying this whole time, and like, it might be the Mandalorian way, but it's not my way. It's not what's best for our people. They can maybe work through something that's better for their future and their people. Hopefully. That's my hope. That's the optimism. But obviously the tragedy would be that like the freaking armor manipulates everyone, including Bo-Katan and Sabine. Oh no.
Allie, how do we have that tail now that you have to fight in order to wield the Darksaber? And I feel kind of like that's a manipulation. Like, is that, where does this come from?
Because Fenn Rau does say like, it's the combat training is not what like is important and what the sword represents. In the modern sense, those ancient customs that the Way established, not the Way, why do I call them the Way? The Watch and the ancient Mandalorians, because like they broke away from Mandalorian society to sustain their ancient cultural customs because like people like Satine. And
my point is if Sabine wanted to hand it to Bo, like in a real way, she would have fought Bo. So, and Sabine would have done that on purpose, you know, like she would have fought her to obey the custom.
You wanted to rule, so I'm giving you another chance to do it. So I get that it was kind of weird that she fought one and not the other, but like we have seen Sabine breaking away from the custom. So I ultimately think it was her just continuing to break away and think that she could work around it.
But I think she would have said that. I think she would have said that in front of all the Mandalorians when she handed Bo the Darksaber. I think she would have said, because they all would have been like, why aren't you guys fighting? That's why I'm confused, because everyone standing there would have been like, no, you can't accept it, Bo, because you guys didn't fight. They would have like lost their minds. I mean, how many Mandalorians were there? There was representatives from all the houses and multiple members from all the houses. So I think they didn't know. I think they legitimately didn't know that you had to fight.
Yeah. Because like we have Bo-Katan in season 2 saying the Watch is a group of Mandalorians that broke away from Mandalorian society to retain the ancient way. So we do see, even at that point, way before the Clone Wars, they were already breaking away. So to your point of them not knowing, that could be a large factor in it, is these ancient ways got so divided from the society itself that they no longer have that context of.
That's what I was thinking. Way. Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
So like, how would they know? And so they're penalized for not knowing that. That's the way I'm understanding this entire thing with the Darksaber.
So I think it's definitely either a mix of that or just breaking away because of what Fenn Rau says. I'm going to hold on to what Fenn Rau says and say that's part of it too, but I definitely agree.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with that. But I would also say Sabine would state that if she's like, I'm not going, she would be like, I'm not fighting you like our ancestors had done in the past. I'm handing this to you.
And that was bad on her for not vocalizing that.
And relinquishing this, like she verbalized a lot of stuff there, you know, in her little speech to Bo and to the rest of the Mandalorians, you know, so she would have said that then.
Like she only says it to Bo and Gar Saxon. She literally tells Gar Saxon that might be the Mandalorian way, but it's not my way, not anymore. Yes. That's what the Mandalorians need to hear. This might not be our way, but we're going to do it this way.
Exactly. So if any moment she would say it, that's the time.
Because obviously the armorer thinks she just handed it off with no thought. That was not the case. She had much thought. She had many thoughts.
I feel like there's a lot of people that don't have the same information. And I feel like they all need to sit in a room and have a big talk, share stories. We have this as a major theme actually throughout Star Wars, as the fact that people don't communicate major bits of information with each other. You and I have discussed this before, that things get lost. Mm-hmm. And the message we need to take is that we all need to verbalize and vocalize a lot of what we think and not hold that stuff in.
Yeah. Because like I said, we saw her doing it at points, but it just needs to be done so much more clearly to everyone. Yes. You need like an Ezra-esque speech to the remaining Mandalorians. Like,
yes. But I so after all this stuff with the Mandalorian, he gets kicked out. He goes on a transport and he has that sweet interaction with the Rodian little boy.
Oh, yeah.
And the one that I was talking about earlier, where I just like sob my eyes out when he sees Baby Yoda's face and his little and the armor that he made for him. That was so sweet. And then we see the little Rodian boy later after he makes the Naboo Starfighter with Peli. I love that. I loved
Naboo Starfighter. We love to see it.
Okay. Oh, so God. I actually have that in Lego. That was one of the first Legos.
I did too. It's at my house, but
I have it somewhere. I will go remake it with my son. I love that. That's a really fun build. Mm-hmm. I love that ship. It's one of my favorite fighters. So seeing that, and it's Anakin's, and just seeing the whole montage of him and Peli working together, it felt like he was kind of healing in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like he was focused on something and he connected, like he had a connection to his Razor Crest and he created a connection to this ship. And Anakin was also very connected to his ships. He loved his ships. I mean, he was such an excellent pilot. Mm-hmm. And it just, I love seeing that parallel with Din and the love that they have for what they do for flying. And when I saw all of this, especially him, when he was connecting with the Naboo Starfighter, when it was all completed and he's walking around it and just like falling in love with it. I thought Anakin would simp so hard for Din. He would just love Din so much. He really would.
And it's also like, kind of like, not only does he immediately ask how to atone and he still be a Mandalorian, but he also immediately goes back to, I just need the Razor Crest. I only want the Razor Crest, Razor Crest, yeah. Razor Crest, Razor Crest. Like he falls back on what he knows.
Yes, exactly.
On Star Wars. So
that's the start. Yes. And that is such a good point. This is him working out of his comfort zone now.
Yeah.
Yes. And then he tries it and he the others it. Like he and the ship were meant to be. They are simpatico. Like,
okay, one thing I'm worried about. I know he wants to put Grogu in that little droid spot, but how many droids have we seen get shot out of?
I know.
That's the worst idea.
You're gonna seriously get shot. It is.
Makes me worried.
That does make me worried.
Especially
too.
With people hunting down freaking Grogu. Like, I just don't see that being the best.
Yeah, because they're going to, I mean, will they continue to be hunting him? Are they hunting him with Luke at the, because we know that Din, when Fennec asked him to work for them, and that's like the one little bit of tie-in. The last 5 seconds,
of Fennec.
It's one line, you know, do you want to work with Boba? And Din's like the nicest guy in the galaxy, which again, Anakin's eyes would just be all heart. He'd just say, I swear, I love it so much. When he said no, he would just work for free because he owes Boba. And Boba would do the same for Boba. No, but he has to go see a friend, and obviously he's referring to Grogu.
I'll take Ben Solo.
I mean, what if we see Leia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw someone say have Carrie's daughter as Leia, Alden as Han, and somebody as baby Ben Solo, I guess. I don't know who would play baby Ben Solo.
Cute. And they're watching Grogu. Yeah.
Yeah. I know Boba, I need to record my reaction to next episode regardless, just for the slight potential that Sabine will be. I will lose it. I would literally.
I want to see her train Din with the darksaber. That's what I want to see.
Yes. No. Boba will help Din deal with the religious trauma. Sabine will help with the darksaber, mm-hmm. And the Jedi stuff. Cause like we've been saying since the beginning, she knew Kanan. So she does have some understanding on that level. And then I guess the rest of Boba is just forming his, and then Fennec. And then he needs to work with Fennec through whatever their dynamic is. I don't know how to call it. Cold and reserved versus I want to feel.
I feel so bad for Boba because he's always like, love me. And she's always like,
oh my God.
So I'm kind of glad Din's going to be in the next episode because I want Din to model for Fennec how to be a proper friend. Maybe Fennec doesn't have friends. Maybe that's the whole issue. She just doesn't know how to be a friend. She's never had friends.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Her line in Bad Batch could be interpreted as just she's always been a loner, I guess.
Yes, like, that's what I'm. Maybe that's what it is. So like she's learning, and it would just be nice for her to see how to be open and and kind of like caring. So we're gonna have Boba with Chris Anton dealing with things with the mayor. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have, meanwhile, Mando is off with Grogu.
Yeah.
So for next week, please don't think I don't want to see Din and I don't love the
Mando. Yeah, I love Din. Are you kidding me?
I love Din so much. Like, I needed this episode.
Yeah.
With this tenderness and sweetness that we've had from Din, that his growing and his learning to love and seeing him love more people. It's so sweet. And that's a major part of Star Wars and what I personally have fallen in love with in Star Wars. And we see that a lot in the animation.
I'm just going to end this by reading Bo-Katan's quote, because people have been too hard. I just kind of want to, you know what I want to do right now? I just want to go on a tangent about how much I love Bo-Katan and like make up for all the hate this week. Bo-Katan says, "Will the future of Mandalore be one of honor or cowardice, hope or fear? The choice is yours." Bo-Katan is just so, she's trying, guys. She has good understanding of what's best for her people. She's trying her best. Stop being mean to her. She's trying.
She is. And I think because there is a lack of information, she suffered. And that's why I feel this is messed up.
Yeah. And again, the fandom is literally being manipulated by the armor.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
No, I'm excited for next week's episode.
Me too.
What about you? Do you have any thoughts, Allie, that you want to add?
I feel like I will after this. I know. Mandalorians. I will say that now. I know I tweeted right before this that I have so many thoughts to share, and I feel like there's so many more I probably could, but at this rate, who wants to sit here for 3 hours? Probably not Marie. So I'll leave it at that. I'm interested to see where both of these stories are going to go and where they're going to intersect. Like I said, that was one of the first things I told you yesterday. Even though when we look at this and we do analysis, we can see the parallels. I want to still see more intersection to make those parallels clearer for the broader audience.
I totally agree. It should be more overt.
Like I said, I have more thoughts. I'll probably tweet them when I think about them, or talk about them next week. Who knows? Mandalorians are awesome. I love them. You can follow me on Twitter at Allie_M_Andrews.
And me, Maria, at Mayor of the Galaxy.
You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Knights of Ren, on Instagram at Knights_of Ren. If you'd like to support us in everything we do, you can do so via Patreon or Ko-fi. Both of those links are in the episode description. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you come back next time to listen to us talk more Star Wars. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.